Welcome to Overflow, an Osage Hills podcast, where we explore the parts of Sunday's sermon that didn't make it to the platform, dive into upcoming events, and unpack why we do what we do as a church. This week, Nate, Mark, and Adam talk about the image of God. They discuss how we are messed up because of sin, what sin is, and so much more. Stick around as we explore these truths and how they apply to our everyday lives. Here we go.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Overflow.
Hello.
Overflow.
You ever seen Megamind?
Nope.
Yeah.
Olo.
Olo.
Y'all are too old.
I believe it's Hello, Sir. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Well, that's not what we're talking about at all.
No, it's not. And this was the second time we tried to start.
Yep. So welcome to Overflow. I'm Nate. I'm the lead pastor at Osage Hills, and I have Mark and Adam here with me today.
Hey.
Hi.
Today, we're just going to kind of cover some of the things that didn't get to get into the message as usual, and also just say Easter's coming.
That's right.
It's a couple weeks away. So I just want to encourage and challenge our church to be inviting people. And if you're a Christian who's not part of the church, you need to be inviting people too. It's a great opportunity for them to hear about the saving message of God by sending Jesus for us, the grace that he has for us, and how you can essentially just accept him.
Right.
And have your life transformed through the power of his spirit. So just want to call you to do that, to let that become something that you should be passionate about too. I mean, Jesus should not be a secret if you have him. But something that happens right before Easter is the extravaganza.
Beow, 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 beow.
So that is the day before. So why don't you tell some of our church members how they can get involved, Adam?
Yeah, the extravaganza is going to be on the 19th, Saturday before Resurrection Sunday. And the ways you can get involved are just, I mean, without oversimplifying, be here. Be here and be part of the church and be part of what we're doing here at Osage Hills and trying to reach out and connect to our community. When we get down to like the details, I mean, we're going to have tons of opportunity to volunteer, to help with kids, in the activities we got planned for them. We've got opportunities to help with the actual Easter egg hunt. And so there's a lot of fun to be had, and there are details that are important, but I think more than going into the details on like the specifics of what we would do, right? I think it's much more important to just say, if you call Osage Hills your church home and you're a part of our congregation, be here. Be here for the extravaganza. At the heart of it, it is an opportunity to serve our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I know like there's the history of like, you know, we want to do something and have fun with us and with our congregation and our church. And like, we're going to do that. It is going to be fun. But what we're going to do is we're going to serve Northwest Tulsa.
What we want to do is we want to invite the community to be a part of what God's doing in our lives. And we want to see Jesus transform our community as well.
Right.
And we cannot do that if we circle the wagons.
Yeah.
So we want to invite the neighborhood to come and be a part of this. And that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Last year.
We'll have a meal. We'll have, you know, we're cooking some hot dogs. We've got food, a lot of fun activities. Obviously the kids are going to do an Easter egg hunt. So there will be fun to be had, right? Like it's going to be a great time.
Yeah.
But really this is really just harping on it again. It's an opportunity. We're going to have people here on our campus, in our backyard, literally, that don't attend Osage Hills, that may not attend a church, but that are in our neighborhood. And so,
yeah. Last year we had over 600 people out.
That's amazing.
This, which is incredible. And so, I imagine this year would probably be a little bigger.
Yeah.
And we're partnering with some other churches, other local churches too. So
partnering with the hub as well.
Yeah, this is a collective event. We're all unifying around the mission of Jesus here. So there's that. And then this Saturday, which is April 12th, we have a work day.
Right.
So if you're part of Osage Hills, hey, bring yourself and possibly some tools and maybe
some other people.
Some people.
Right.
And help us prepare. Help us prepare for Easter.
Yep. Yeah, I think the point of this is, you know, we have some stuff that, you know, around the church that needs to be done, But the real idea of this is, you know, we want to honor God with the excellence that we put forward in our Easter experience. And so there are just some things that we want to get done around the church. One, to steward and honor our building and our location well. Mm-hmm. And two, to set a stage for what Resurrection Sunday is going to be. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent experience. We want our church to look excellent. So we've got, you know, we've got painting projects. We've got door hanging projects. We've got all kinds of stuff.
Gardening projects.
We've got stuff for
cleaning projects.
Kids of all ages to do. All different abilities.
Projects
where we do projects. So it's just going to be a great time to get the church ready for Easter. Thank you, Mark.
So do it.
Yeah.
Please.
Come on.
I come out.
So, nine to noon.
Nine to noon on the 12th. This Saturday.
On the 12th. So come on out. And if it's past the 12th, well, you missed it.
Get in the time machine. Fire for DeLorean and go back. Yeah.
You could have done better.
Okay. Well,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Let's start. What are we talking
Speaking
about today?
Speaking of doing better
in
life, what are we talking about today?
Yeah. Well, today.
Beautiful segue.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
We're essentially continuing our talk about the image of God. This past weekend, the title of the message was "We're Messed Up" or "We Need Help." Essentially both. Yeah. But we went into Genesis chapter 3 and how the image of God had been distorted because of a little choice that the deception, you know, the deceiver came in and said that nothing was going to happen. And then they were like, well, I guess I agree with this. And they took a bite. And something totally happened. And there's been an entire, a consequence that the entire world has suffered ever since. So, and what we kind of landed on toward the end was that the story here that Genesis 3 presents is also my story and your story. We've all faced those times when we're presented with an opportunity to make a choice. Either to live by the wisdom of God or to live by our own wisdom. And more often than not, I think we're all guilty of choosing our own wisdom instead of trusting that God knows what's best for me. And so we listen to the little voice, and our little choice often has larger consequences than what we expect. And so when we get into this, there was a point that was made later on in the message. It was living by your own wisdom puts you at odds with God and others. Uniquely, I think we have a word that we constantly use. This is the first sin that was committed in the Bible.
Original sin.
Yeah, the original sin. Yeah. So that may be, and it's unique. The word sin doesn't even appear in the narrative. It doesn't appear until Genesis chapter 4. But that doesn't mean that what Adam and Eve did was not a sin. It clearly was. They disobeyed God. And so now when we see what's going on, I just want to turn the page in the Bible to Genesis chapter 4. And here we have the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's sons. They were offering sacrifices to the Lord. Abel was the firstborn. Cain, I think he was the firstborn. I'm not sure. But anyway, I don't have the passage up in front. I should look it up. I should not be just a doofus. I should totally look that up. Anyway, they're offering sacrifices to the Lord. And what happens here is that God accepts Abel's offering. And he didn't accept Cain's. Cain was firstborn. Abel was second. And since that was going on, Cain was a little bit, well, it says that his face fell. It's not, it wasn't happy. He was a little, felt dejected.
Sad.
And, yeah, and we feel like that sometimes, I think. A lot of times when we're going through something in our life, and things are not turning out very good, or we're making decisions that aren't going to please the Lord and we find out that we're not pleasing the Lord, we have a choice to make. Either we can do good or we can continue to do bad and then actually hurt other people because they're being accepted and we're not. And that's what this story is kind of about. So here I want to read to you Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, because God saw that Cain's face had fallen. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen?" Verse 7, "If you do well, if you do good, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is well or what is good, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." You know, here, if we want to understand what sin, according to the Bible, looks like, according to what God is saying it to be here, it's depicted as an animal waiting by the door to pounce the moment that you open it, right?
Right.
Sin's very nature is contrary to you. I don't know if I can stress that enough. It is not only contrary to God, it is contrary to you. That's what God says. Okay? So if we're looking at the image of God in relation to this, sin is out to get you. It is not out to help you. Mm-hmm. It is out to make it bad. We think it will give us what we want, but it won't. So just let that sink in. If we open the door to that thing, it will kill us. It will kill us. Instead, we're called to rule it, which kind of pulls in what God was saying in Genesis chapter 1, where he says, "Let them have dominion. Let these images of mine have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the creatures on the land." And so he wants us to rule it. And we're supposed to view sin as something that is unruly, something that needs to be mastered and subdued, rather than something that we let in and wreck the house.
Right.
Right? This is not an animal to let loose, but one to rule over. So sin has no power when we are honest about ourselves and seek the wisdom of God above our own. And that's when we can look into that James passage in chapter 1 again, James 1, 14 through 18. It says, "When our desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." So when we allow that animal in, we make an allegiance with that thing, it's going to kill us. It's not going to be a good situation. And so, you know, when we look at how the things that we do, the things that we want to do, and really it's in alignment with this creature, a creature that's out to hurt us, mm-hmm. not a creature that's out to do us good. In fact, anything that this creature says to you is going to hurt you and hurt other people. There is nothing good that comes from this. It, I think for me, puts into perspective that how little compromises actually do an awful lot more than what we think they will.
Right. I've got this. So try to keep this evergreen, but I've got this image in my head, like right now where we are. I've got a mountain lion that's living in the ravine behind my home, mm-hmm. like in our property. And so, again, not trying to like say the time of the year, but where we are in this season, it's like mating season for these mountain lions. Right. And so right out our backyard, like behind our back fence, 500-600 yards, maybe there is this mama mountain lion. And she is either mating or she is protecting newly born cubs, right? And so as you were talking there, Nate, about this creature pounced ready to attack, my mind just immediately goes to like, you know, we make concessions. We make small, it's one
isn't
time.
It cute?
It's such a tiny little kitty cat, right? Like we make these little one-time decisions about our sins and about the things that serve our flesh. Mm-hmm. And we think, oh, that's okay. It's just one time. But then, as we know, one time leads to two, two leads to 10. And now sometimes we've developed a habit, right, of sin. But we don't think that it hurts us. However, if I told you guys tonight, when I start hearing Mama Mountain Lion call, I'm going to go fire up the grill and I'm going to make steak. And I'm going to leave that steak at my back door. Mm-hmm. And then when the little kitty comes, the old little kitty cat, if I were to tell you I'm going to open the door and let that mountain lion in my house, you would say, Adam, that's stupid.
Yeah, you're crazy.
You're going to be mountain lion chow, catnip. You're going to die. It's going to be the end of your life, right?
It's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt. And that's so absurd.
Yeah.
And obviously we're not all like trying to lure large cats into our homes, or I hope not. But it's the same. Yeah. It's the same of making small concessions. Mm-hmm. Allow sin. We leave the door open. We leave the door open a crack. And it can come into our life. And It's ready to pounce. It is ready to go.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to get ready, it stays ready. Yeah. So when that door opens, you've invited the mountain lion into your home.
Right.
Sorry, that's a sidetrack, but it's been in my head.
It's a good picture.
I think adding to that, though, the way that sin operates is that when you're in your backyard cooking the steak, mm-hmm. the mountain lion actually comes up and cuddles your leg and purrs and makes
really
you
good.
Feel safe and comfortable and like, I'm a friend.
I have a pet mountain lion now. How
like,
awesome.
We're cool. We're just cool, chill bros. Like, that's fine. And then you open the door.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good.
And then it attacks.
Yeah.
Because no one would sin if it wasn't fun.
Sure.
And no one would sin if it didn't feel good.
Yeah.
And so we have to remember that it is deceiving.
It mm-hmm. is totally deceiving.
And it's going to give you momentary pleasure. I mean, that's why everybody sins.
Right.
Because it gives us momentary pleasure. But we forget that it's actively destroying our life.
That's really good. That's really good, Mark.
You bring up that point, actively destroying. Death is, it may be a long way away, but it doesn't change the fact that it still kills you.
And sin has been around for a long time.
It has.
And so it doesn't mind waiting.
Mm-mm. And that's really good. Man, that's powerful right there.
Well, and the shrewd, I mean, it's shrewd. And what was it? Crafty. It's cunning. Figures out a way to speak to that desire that you have, that longing that you have. What is it? Is it Jesus that calls he's a wolf in sheep's clothing or something like mm-hmm. that. He disguises himself as an angel of light. These kinds of things, it appears like it's okay, but there is nothing safe or good about this. It is all bad, all of it. And so, you know, we have to think, when it comes to the commands of God, are we trying to make it seem like it's not quite as bad as what it truly is? And like, I'm not as bad of a person as that. Or, you know, even by measuring ourselves up to somebody else who's totally worse than we are. And that in and of itself is a terrible way to live.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't change the fact that sin is still it's a death.
And that comparison's a trap too. Like,
yes.
That comparison is one of the tools that sin, that Satan will use.
Yeah.
I'm not as bad as them.
Well, maybe you've never murdered somebody,
right?
But it doesn't change the fact that you've broken something that was meant to be in the image of God.
That you've distorted this image.
Yeah, you've shattered the reflection, and that is the thing. That is what we're talking about. What does it mean to be the image of God here? And in this kind of moment here, God is calling Cain. Look, be the image of God when sin's knocking on your door. He's like, I can see what's going on in your heart. I know what you want to do to Abel. Look, if you just, and he's telling, change what you're, if you alter what you're doing, if you do well, if you do good, it insinuates, Cain, you're missing something here, buddy. You're missing something. You're feeding the animal. You're bringing it closer. And it's just waiting for the time to strike.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people miss the grace of God in that Cain and Abel narrative, because you almost said it there, that, you know, God said, if you do good, won't you also be blessed?
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, I'm waiting and willing to bless you.
Yeah.
Just because this moment happened doesn't mean that you're ruined forever. Mm. But I have grace for you.
Yeah.
if you do good, you will be blessed. Mm-hmm. And his choice was to do more bad.
Right. And and I want to point something else out. This is not a call for you to measure up to so that God will bless you. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're talking about. God has the blessing for you to do something. I mean, you have to do it. You have to choose him. And that's doing good. Choosing him is doing good. And really, it's kind of seen in the next point that comes out of this. If we were to be the image of God, we need to trust in God's wisdom. And it is above our own. So in the New Testament really calls this confession a lot, confession and repentance. And we didn't go to the passage of scripture, but it's in 1 Corinthians 1, it's verse 26. It says that Christ is the wisdom of God. And we're talking about choosing Christ, right? And so in the Old Testament, we used Proverbs 1, verse 7, which is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that fools despise wisdom and instruction. Essentially, that's the key word there, Torah, which is the instruction of God, which we would call in the Christian church the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. So here we're invited then to decide to live our lives according to the wisdom of God instead of our own. So when we're facing the tree, if we're standing at the tree and have a choice whether we're going to align ourselves with God's wisdom or align ourselves with the snake, who is telling us that nothing bad will happen to us if we just go ahead and eat the fruit, if we just go ahead and, you know, sin a little bit. What we have to realize is that death is on the other side of our compromise. But life is on the side of choosing God. Nothing about this changes by the time we get to Christ, because Christ is life. And we talked about that in a previous podcast. But see, the fear of the Lord here, it's really, really unique because, you know, when we say fear, what are some of the first things that come to mind?
Well, that's,
you
know.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's a tough question to ask lifelong
Christian. Yeah, someone who's like studied this kind of thing.
Student.
But yeah, I mean, but fear, a lot of us, and this is why I think, you know, it's kind of not really well translated, but we really don't have another way of putting it because it's not an adjective. This is actually a noun in the Hebrew. And so this has to do, well, let's just talk about the factors here. In this text, it is not solely a starting point of knowledge or wisdom, but is itself wisdom and knowledge. So it is the place that begins wisdom, but it is the place in which wisdom exists as well. So it's not where you go to start living the wise life. It is the wise life. So you can't just decide to choose this once. It is a consistent way of being. So it's not simply a choice that's to be made, but it's also directly connected with the Spirit of God. So you can find all this and how this put together, how the Old Testament talks about it. If you look at Proverbs chapter 1 and Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2 has wisdom interacting with God as also the source for which he created the world. Fascinating. And it's a being, it's a thing, you know, something like a thing, but it's a being that exists. And it comes from the Spirit of God. It comes from the Spirit of God is the source and giver of it. So the fear of the Lord is not something, not only something to possess and desire, but it's also a state of being for yourself. And as a state of being, there's this promise of flourishing of a kind that exists beyond hardship and pain or destruction while extending a hopeful future to eternity. So, which I think if we were to really grasp all this, this is a way of not only living in the here and now, but it's something that carries you on through the rest of whatever life is deemed itself and into the next phase of life after death into eternity. So, and we got to think it comes from the Spirit of God. He is the source, but it's also his presence. Isn't that crazy? So there's a lot more that's wrapped up into the fear of the Lord. I also want to point this out. It's not inherited or inherent. It is something that you learn. It's something you cultivate and grow. And there's this submissive quality to the fear of the Lord. So where it's maintaining a connection with the source of wisdom for living too. So there's a submission of a type. And so in those moments where you are faced with taking fruit from the tree or doing what you think is good or wise in your own eyes, you submit that to the way of the Lord and his wisdom for you. There's this expectation to refuse any other form of wisdom that originates outside the guidelines of what the Spirit has set up. And, you know, specifically speaking about the Word of God as the way in which you live, right? So developing a state of being requires this ongoing connection to the source and then applying that instruction so that you can make wise judgments and experience whatever God calls flourishing or success. So as intriguing as this sounds, doesn't it also sound a little bit difficult to do? Because, you know, I want this for myself, you know? I want this for myself, but there's all these other things that I want. And so really what this means as well is that in order for me to finally get to a point where this is the kind of wisdom that I crave, then I need to sit under the tutelage of the Spirit of God rather than constantly feed my own desires.
Sure.
Which is where we went into the sermon then, you know, just those one little choices those small little choices that allow me to choose my own desire over what the Spirit desires. How do you think that you can begin to shift this into the way of life instead of to the way of death?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with what you were just talking about of relying on God's wisdom, trusting in God's wisdom, that you need to start with confessing and accepting that you need him to help you do this. Because if you just try hard on your own, you know, it's like a couple podcasts ago, you're just spinning in the mud because you're going to get frustrated and things aren't going to go the way that you think they should. And then you're going to get, you know, angry and mad, and it's going to drive you further away than where you need to be. And so your starting point needs to be, man, Holy Spirit, help me. Only through you am I going to be able to do this.
Source. He's the source.
Right. Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's why you see throughout Psalms and David's writings, you know, meditating on the law of God day and night, you know, the Psalm 1, I mean, the blessed man is like a tree by stream. I'm jumbling my words. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Totally
get it. Totally.
Yeah. I mean, and we've really messed up meditating in our culture. Mm. We say that word and don't know what it means.
You have no clue.
It's not empty your mind. Just so that we make that clear.
It's filling it.
It's filling it.
With God and his word and his law and his attributes. Mm-hmm. And the more you do that, I mean, it's the fundamental thing of life. The more you do of something, the more you become like that.
Right.
And so, I mean, you want to be more like Christ, then fill your mind and fill your heart with him. And where do you do that?
Yeah.
The Bible and in church and in community with other believers.
And some encouragement to, you know, maybe you're sitting here and you are a Christ follower and you've had this right at one point and now you find yourself struggling again. You know, sitting here thinking, you know, my gym regimen hasn't been as good as it should have been. You know, my workout regimen hasn't been as good as it should have been in the last, really probably the last year.
Yeah, we can tell.
Yeah, thank you. but the point I'm making, you know, there was at some point when I was working out and I was like lifting and staying consistent. Yeah, my squat was like up over 500, right? Like I could move a truck, you know,
a small truck.
Yeah. Small truck. not a real one.
But it's still a truck.
Yeah, I mean, I can move a lot of weight. That's not the point, Mark. It's not the size of the truck. But the point is now, like, if I were to go in and throw plates on a bar, I would struggle with like 225. Yeah. Like, I don't know that I could squat it and stand back up easily, right?
Right.
So how do I get, what do I get back to doing? How do I get back to doing that? I get back in the gym. Mm. I work out. I stretch those muscles. Yeah. I get stronger. Okay, so there was a time in my life where I was really close with Christ, and I was sitting under his teaching, and I was doing the things that I know to help, you know, create that clear image. But man, life has happened. Like you were saying, Mark, we talked about it. Things didn't go this way. You know, I didn't get that promotion. You know, my marriage, there's something happening in my marriage that I didn't expect. You know, my kids are going through something that I never want to see them go through. And honestly, I'm not really focused on it anymore because of what has happened in my life. That's no longer my focus.
Yeah.
And so now my muscles are weak. Don't be discouraged in that. One, don't be discouraged in that, because no matter who you talk to as a Christ follower, if they're going to be honest with you, we've all experienced that. Mm-hmm. You're not alone in that. We've all felt that. And two, don't be discouraged, but get back to work.
Yeah.
Get back in the gym. Get back in the word and in the things that you know are going to help you rebuild that wisdom, seeking that wisdom and maintaining it.
There's, you know, you got to redirect your desires, right, to crave and treasure your connection with the Spirit of God, who is the source of wisdom and the one who can make your state of being with his. You know, with his state of being. And I want to say that you are conforming then to what God desires to see of you as someone who is made in his image, right?
Right.
So you, if you treasure that, if you treasure your connection with the Spirit and you obey the instructions that he gives you, you think of the things that will come from you instead of death, that you're bringing life. And I think that's probably where it all boils down to. As easy as it is to make little compromises, instead, you make little choices that are in line with the Spirit. Start making those little choices. You know, how is it that in this moment here, I can be aligning myself with God better through the power of his Spirit? And you can, I mean, those are the times when you're tempted to just send, I call them flare prayers. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, God, help me. Spirit, help me. Give me strength to say no right now, because I want to choose you over this. Mm-hmm. So when that little snake comes around and starts talking to you, saying that it's no big deal, man, squash that thing. You know, it might sting a little because you're giving something up. But what you gain on the other side is so much better.
Right.
So, you know, let that be. I think that's a good challenge for us. If we want to be people who are just immersed in the wisdom of God, make the little choice that is in line with what the Spirit of God says instead of what your desires are. Ask the Spirit to increase that desire for him more than the desire for, you know, for self-satisfaction. So, yeah, and join the church.
Yeah. Yeah, I think to oversimplify everything we just said, if you want to be an image of God, an image bearer, then be it. Do the things that are of God and of him. Yeah. And, you know.
And to turn like super youth pastory, I'll use my youth pastor voice.
Okay.
If you want to be the image of God, how are you going to see what God looks like? You got to be in his word.
You got to be, you got to trust Jesus.
Yeah.
You need to connect yourself with him.
I want to be in the light.
As you are in the light, I want to shine like the stars in the hair phones.
Yeah, and then you can produce that nice, thick, velvety, rich crema.
No,
the crema of life.
Life.
Yes. We can't end on that. Backstory, I told Nate I never wanted to hear him say the word crema again, so naturally it got worked
somewhere
in.
Exactly. Of course.
That's, yeah, being an image of God is like being the crema.
The crema of life.
Coffee.
The crema of a nice cup of espresso.
It's just
the best.
Yep.
Well, thanks for tuning in.
I feel like we were somewhere really good, and then that plane just crashed.
I'm telling you, man.
Man.
There's some good espressos out there.
All of this is staying in, by the way. Right. I am not cutting this out.
I love this.
Well, God bless you guys. And if you have any questions, you can send them our way. Questions at osagehills.com. And if you have any thoughts, I'd love to hear your reflections on this too. We'd hope to hear from you guys soon, and we'll see you this weekend.
Bye. Blessings.